We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado!
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Buffs Insider Weekly Podcast. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Now, if you join us every week here on the podcast, you know that every week Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com and I sit down and kind of discuss the week in Colorado athletics. If you're with us every week, you know that a few weeks ago we did a wonderful recording on a Thursday that was going to come out on Friday morning, and I mistakenly deleted the podcast. And so I happened to be in Virginia for the Paradise Jam that week and had to kind of do some tap dancing to put together a podcast that week without Neil. Well, it happened again this week. Somebody, who shall remain nameless, deleted the podcast after Neil and I sat down and did it after Wednesday night's basketball game. But we are Buffaloes, and we overcome and we adapt. And so this week on the podcast, we're joined by a number of Buffaloes, including Neil Welk, who's going to join us in a few minutes, also Dominic Collier. But we're going to start out with volleyball, because Friday afternoon, the CU volleyball team is in the Sweet 16 for the first time since 1997, and they battle old rival Nebraska in Lexington, Kentucky. This week, I caught up a junior outside hitter, Alexis Smith, after the Buffaloes came back from a great first and second round effort in Waco, Texas last weekend.
It was a fun weekend for sure.
Yeah, kind of take us through it. Now, you start against James Madison. Kind of go back and take us through that match a little bit.
I think we started off a little slow. We're still getting used to the gym a little bit, but I think by the second and third set, we were playing some really good volleyball. They put up a really good fight, and they were a good team, but we ended up playing well at the end.
And then so the Buffaloes in the second round then had to face a top 20 team in Baylor. You're doing so on their home court, so you had that going on. Hostile crowd, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. But you guys kind of found a rhythm. That was about the worst loss that Baylor suffered all season long.
I think starting at point one, we had the energy and fire that we needed, and that carried us through the rest of the match.
You know, I think in basketball, a lot of times they talk about finding a rhythm a little bit. They can talk about that in football as well. Does that happen in volleyball, where a team kind of finds a rhythm?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, if you're serving and passing well, that's what's going to carry you through the game, and that's what we did really well. And I think that's why we played so well.
Did you kind of have a sense leading in that there was a good feel about the team?
There was a really good feel. Obviously, our coaches prepare us really well. Lee does an awesome job scouting the teams, and as well as Jesse and Evan. So they really prepare us well, and I think all we have to do is go in and play.
You know, I saw a comment by assistant coach Evan Sanders where she said the Buffaloes didn't see anything that they hadn't seen all season long. What she meant by that is the Pac-12 is so good, and the competition you guys face every week, you know, jumping into the NCAA tournament really is kind of what you faced all year long.
Right. Like you said, the Pac-12 is so deep, and Baylor is one of those really good teams that you're going to see in the NCAA tournament, so we are definitely very prepared for a competition like that.
Hey, before we get talking about that Sweet 16 matchup, you've been named first team All-Pac-12 this week, and just a couple of days ago, in fact, were named All-Region. What does that mean to you when you get that kind of honor?
It's such an honor, and words really can't describe how grateful I am to have those honors. I really owe it to my teammates and my coaches for putting me in that position.
All right, let's talk about meeting the Huskers. You know, you're a Colorado native. You know what that has meant over the course of time. Mm-hmm. Colorado, Nebraska, big matchup on Friday, right?
For sure. I mean, that rivalry goes really deep, and I think, obviously, Nebraska is a really great program. They've been a great team for a long time, so it'll be a really fun match. Probably a really tough match, but we're excited about it.
Traveling that far, Buffs and Huskers got to go all the way out to Lexington, Kentucky. I mean, that's a long trip to play a Sweet 16 match.
It is. I think we'd rather be playing them in Lexington than we would in Nebraska, though.
Yeah, without question. Yeah. Yeah. Anytime you don't have to go to Lincoln is always
that's a good thing, right?
How about the preparation leading up to the Sweet 16? How's practice been since you got back?
Actually, today is our first day back. They gave us yesterday off, so we'll be ready to get back in the gym today and then start working on some things that we're going to see with them this weekend.
How do you kind of approach things, or what does Jesse say to you guys when you talk about moving on to the next round? I mean, the intensity, the pressure begins to rise a little bit as you kind of move through a tournament, doesn't it?
A little bit. He always says, though, the only pressure is that you put on yourself. And so we have to continue to play well on our side, and that's what's going to ultimately control our destiny.
Yeah, some rarefied air. Buffaloes, by the way, for the fourth time in the Sweet 16. Hey, have you kind of made sure that the other athletes on the team understand what Colorado-Nebraska means?
Not yet.
The ones not from Colorado?
Not yet, but I'm sure that will be some things will be said.
All right. Hey, congratulations. Keep up the good work, and then we'll talk about moving on to the Final Four next week. How's that sound?
Thank you.
So good luck to Alexa and the CU volleyball team. That's a 3 o'clock tossing up between the Huskers and your Colorado Buffaloes in Lexington, Kentucky, later this afternoon. Now we shift gears, talking men's basketball. The Buffaloes get a nice victory on Wednesday night. Kind of a chaotic game, with the Buffaloes knocked off New Mexico by 18 points at the Coors Event Center. Now get ready for a big one coming up tomorrow in the Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio. Senior Dominic Collier had a great second half against the Lobos. He and the Buffaloes certainly focused on tomorrow's game with the 13th-rated Musketeers, but even he and his teammates are excited about the volleyball team.
Oh, it's really good for the program, and then just to see the girls so happy that they're going to the Sweet 16, I'm just really excited for them.
Yeah, good stuff. See you women in Lexington against Nebraska coming up later on this week. How much do different teams kind of interact a little bit? I mean, are you friends with a lot of like girls in the basketball team or track athletes or volleyballers?
Oh, yeah, we're all friends with each other. We all hang out with each other and interact with each other because we have to be around each other almost every day. I'm at Dowd Ward in the Champion Center and up eating, so we interact with each other a lot, and then we're real familiar with everyone on every team.
Well, it's the Buffs family. We're always cheering each other on, obviously. So good luck to the volleyball team against Nebraska coming up this week. All right, how about this season right now? You guys are sitting at 6-1, coming off that loss to Colorado State last week. That was a tough one, certainly, but it's been a good start to the season, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been a good start. We had a slip up in the last game, CSU, but we're trying to keep it rolling.
You know, that's a tough matchup. And anytime you get into a rivalry game, obviously, you know the emotions are going to be high. The intensity picks up in a game like that, doesn't it? In particular, when you're playing on the road like you were last week.
Oh, of course. Everyone knows how big that game is, especially for people in the state of Colorado and that's growing up in Colorado. So we knew that going into that game it was going to be a crazy crowd, and they were going to be on top of their game. No matter how they played the games before that, we knew that they were going to be ready for that game. So we just came up short, but we can't determine our season off of that loss. We have to keep moving and continue to stay focused in practice and continue to work.
Let me guess, after the game, Tad Boyle probably talked to you guys about rebounding, didn't he?
Oh, of course. Of course. That was the first thing he actually talked about.
And disappointing. You guys were, what, minus 14, I think, in that game.
Oh, yeah, we were. Yeah. So we took that to heart, and then we tried to come back the next day and continue to work on what we need to work on, and then just go into our next game with a different focus.
Does it make it more disappointing, being that it's that game that you guys suffer your first loss of the season?
I don't think it's more disappointing. I think it's just disappointing as a whole that we lost, because we were on such a good roll, and then we feel like we could have won that game if we came and then we just followed our game plan. But it's over with, so we need to keep on moving.
Your senior campaign, can you believe it's here already?
Oh man, it's really flown by, actually.
Who's his tougher on, you or your mom?
Oh, probably my mom. To be honest with you, yes, my mom.
How do you approach a year like this, knowing that this is the final year of college basketball?
Just to pretty much let it all hang out, because my last year, and then, it's the last year. So just to let it hang out, really, and just to have fun. That's just the most part, to have fun, because my last go around playing college ball with all these all of my brothers, and then just the coaches, just a whole family. So I think the main thing, just go out and have fun.
You know, I think I was talking to Derek McCartney towards the end of the football season, and he said, you know, you get here as a freshman, you think, oh heck, it's 4 or 5 years off, and next thing you know, it's upon you already.
That is true.
When did it kind of hit you?
I don't really know. I think when our very first game, I'm like, dang, this is the first time that I'm. This is the first.
The last first game I'm gonna ever have here. Did you approach the season any differently?
I try to just be more focused than I ever came in here, and just to just the focus part.
When you look at this team right now, the way it's constituted, you guys have been pretty good defensively, and maybe last game notwithstanding, been a pretty good rebounding team. Do you like the makeup of this team and kind of how it's maturing?
Oh, yeah, I do like the makeup of this team. In practice, we push each other every day, and then, like, there's no time that you can slack off, because everyone's going to keep coming at you. And then I think that's going to makes us better on defense, so when we go against good guards and good bigs, that we're already prepared for that. But we need to be more challenging on ourselves on rebounding, because, you know, as you know, that's the issue for us right now.
This weekend, you're on the road in Cincinnati against number 13 Xavier, a team that's coming off a big win here a couple of days ago, a team you beat here at the Coors Event Center last year. What do you think about this matchup? Certainly a great challenge for the Buffaloes.
Oh, it really is a great challenge. It's a great opportunity for us, too, to go into a hostile environment, number 15 Xavier, and just to go out there and just play hard and try to get the W. But we got New Mexico first and trying to get that secure first.
What do you think is the biggest piece of advice you can give the youngsters on this team heading into a game like that?
Try to learn from the experience of CSU, because it's going to be like almost like the same atmosphere, probably a little more louder, because they're top 15th in the country, so they're going to have fans everywhere screaming and stuff. So just keep your composure, and then when we get down, or if we get down, just stay together as a team.
Again, Dominic Collier and the CU men take on Xavier tomorrow in Cincinnati. Now, along with plenty of volleyball and men's and women's basketball this week. By the way, the CU women got a nice win on Wednesday night in Fort Collins over the CSU Rams. There was movement on Mike McIntyre's football coaching staff. His co-offensive coordinator, Brian Lindgren, darted to Corvallis, which I'm not sure has ever happened before, to become the OC for the OSU Beavers. Now, as a result, fellow co-offensive coordinator Darren Cheverini, he'll become the Buffs' play caller in 2018, and offensive line coach Clayton Adams, he's elevated to co-offensive coordinator alongside Cheverini by Mike McIntyre. Wasn't surprised there's some movement on the football staff following the 5-7 season, and neither was our good buddy Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com.
No, I think, you know, when you look at what Brian Lindgren did here, especially with the quarterbacks, I mean, what he did with Sefo Lufau, developing Sefo Lufau, turning him into a record-setting quarterback, did a great job with that. CU's offense has been very productive under Brian, and so I think when they called and, you know, wanted to talk to him, certainly he had to listen.
Well, and you kind of expect this thing. After a down season, a lot of times there's some changes that are made, and so along with the change of Lindgren leaving, Darren Cheverini starts calling plays. He was the co-offensive coordinator, but worked from the sideline, and Clayton Adams elevated now to co-offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Clayton becomes the co-offensive coordinator, and I think he'll concentrate a lot more on the running game, and that'll be a nice combination, because Darren Cheverini obviously very in tune with the passing game, the wide receivers, the quarterbacks and things. This brings in Clayton Adams' input. He has coached running backs before. He now coaches the offensive line, so he has a very good feel for that running game. I like that combination, just because I think Clayton will help help Darren remember that there is such a thing as a running game once in a while.
Well, it's also going to be interesting, and if you've ever been around Darren Cheverini, you love the guy. You love his passion. He loves Colorado, but this will be a bit of a transition for him, being up now in the booth and having to focus on calling the plays.
Yeah, Darren's never called plays before. He's been around offense all his life. I mean, he played wide receiver, played in the NFL, has been at Texas Tech, up here as the co-offensive coordinator. But the good thing here is he's going to have somebody to lean on with Clayton, and they can discuss it. And I thought the co-offensive coordinators worked well here. I never saw any kind of issue with it. I I like having Clayton having some input there and just being able to sit down. Those two guys I know get along really well. I see them every day. They talk about a lot of things, and so I think that's a nice combination.
You know, and Neil, this is really kind of part and parcel. When you have a season where maybe you didn't reach expectations, every coaching staff, Rick George included as the athletic director, every Lance Carl, of course, is associate athletic director, every stone remains or is turned over to make sure they're looking at every detail to see if they can fix whatever the issues were.
Oh, no doubt. I think when you have a season like this, you have to look at it and say, okay, what do we have to do better? And that starts at the top, starts at Mike McIntyre's office, you know, his doorstep, and it just goes down through the staff. And I think they, you know, I think they are taking a look at that. I don't think they, well, I'm sure they didn't plan on losing Brian Lindgren. Right. I don't think that was in the cards. But when Oregon State called, they said, sure, you can, you know, they gave permission for Oregon State to talk to him. And so as soon as that happened, then they started making plans and moving forward. And so I think this is I think it's a nice step for Colorado.
Well, before we shift gears into basketball, certainly volleyball here in just a moment, we found out early this week that Isaiah Oliver, foregoing his final year of college football, he was named, by the way, first team All Pac-12 early this week, but he's leaving for the NFL.
Not
terribly surprised.
You talk about things that are no surprise. I mean, everybody kind of figured all year long that he was going to be a first or second round draft choice. You and I were, you know, around the scouts all the time at practice every day, and there would be five scouts at practice, and they were looking at one person most of the time, and they're looking at number 26. And so, no surprise that Isaiah is going. Wish him the best of luck. Just a class act, great kid all around. Certainly leaves a hole in the CU defense next year, but Isaiah is going to succeed at the next level.
Yeah, he was a guy that said during the year, he said it wasn't an easy decision. He was kind of going back and forth. Got a rapid fire here. Men's basketball drops his first game of the season last weekend at Colorado State. Got a big one coming up against Xavier this weekend.
That's a big game. On the road, number 13 Xavier, big game for Colorado basketball. Love to see I'm looking forward to seeing how the young guys react to that kind of atmosphere.
The women, 6-1, playing some very good basketball as well.
Yeah, again, what J.R. Payne's doing with that team, young team, they're advancing a little quicker than maybe we thought they would.
And for the first time since 1997, how about the volleyball team in the Sweet 16 for the first time in 20 years?
Against Nebraska, too. What more
awesome.
Could you want? I mean, you know, Colorado-Nebraska had some great matches in years past. Big 8, Big 12. It was funny talking to the volleyball players this week. They have no recollection of Colorado ever playing Nebraska because they weren't around when they were in the same league. But great step forward for Jesse Mahoney's team.
Well, that'll wrap up this week's Buffs Insider. You can join us on Saturday as we come to you from the Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio, as the Buffs basketball team squares off with number 13 Xavier. Our coverage begins at 2:30 Mountain Time with Buffs Warm-Up presented by Safeway, followed by the tip-off at 3 between the Buffaloes and the Musketeers on the Colorado Basketball Network and streaming live at CUBuffs.com. For Alexa Smith, Dominic Collier, and our buddy Neil Welk, I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us this week on the Buffs Insider.